Good morning. Welcome to our online edition of the service. Our live services, our church building is open again. So if you've stumbled across this, wanting to get to a church, we are open and you are welcome to come and join us. But we do understand that many of you or some of you are still concerned about the virus and about ill health and perhaps your own health. And so we continue to do online broadcasts for you. This morning we're going to be starting a series that I've entrusted, Trusting God in the Mess of Life. I don't need to tell you how messy life can be, and this year has been a prime example of that. And we're going to have a look at probably the first 10 Psalms as we do that, and this morning we pick it up with Psalm 1. So why don't you open your Bibles, Psalm chapter 1, and we'll be reading the entire psalm. So this is the word of God. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, but streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. This is the word of God. Well, let's pray now as we come to hear from God's word. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, we do thank you for another opportunity, God. Well, let's pray now as we come to hear from God's word. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, we do thank you for another opportunity to meet together. We thank you that we are able to meet together in person for the first time in 6 or so months. And pray, Lord, that it might be a real great time of reunion and rejoicing as we do that. Lord, we pray for those who can't be with us in person this morning, and we pray that you would draw close to them as they watch this video or listen to this talk online. But Lord, also we pray now that you would speak to all of us as we open your word now. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Life is a mess. The last 6 months or so has really just shown that to us. We haven't been able to meet together. It's only just recently that we've been able to visit one another. If you're anything like me, our data costs have gone through the roof as we've been listening and watching to online services. Perhaps if you've got a business, your business has been disrupted. Our finances have been affected. Even our health has been threatened. And that's not talking about the normal issues that we had all along. The issues with our families, the issues with our bosses. Life has always been a mess. And this year, it's become an even greater mess. How can we continue to trust God in the mess of life? This is going to be our theme through October and November as we look at Psalms 1 through 10. And rediscover for ourselves how it is possible to trust God in the mess of life. David, our psalmist, begins this amazing book and wants us to understand something very important. And so I've entitled this psalm, First Things First. The psalmist wants to ensure that we get things straight before we get into the whole idea of trusting God in the mess of life. He wants to engage with us so that we're on the same page as him. And he gives us some amazing advice here in Psalm 1. Our modern society today, there are so many voices telling us that we need to go this way or do this, that sometimes it's really difficult to know who is speaking the truth And who is trying to pull the wool over our eyes? And so what the psalmist does in this opening psalm of this amazing book, he gives us some very, very sound advice on where we should look for our help in times of trouble and in the mess of life. David gives us directions to continue to live for God in this messy world. I want to make three comments this morning. And the first comment, and you'll see this in the list here, what gives us direction in life? As the psalmist begins this whole book of Psalms, he begins with the word blessed or blessed. Today, I think when we think of the word blessed, we think of something that makes me happy. I'm blessed to have Helen as my wife. I'm blessed because I have a nice roof over my head. God has been good to me. He has blessed me because he's allowed us to have a car or a freezer full of food or a cash bonus or whatever it might be for you and I. But the idea that the psalmist wants us to understand here in the Psalms, and in fact it's not just the Psalms, but in other portions of Scripture as well, the idea of blessed or blessing carries with it our contentment with God. So the Lord Jesus picks up on this in Matthew's Gospel in the Sermon on the Mount when he says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. And so he carries on. It's not so much that we have everything that we need, but it's the idea that we are blessed when we are in God. Then we can be content with our lot in life. The psalmist gives us two options of life here and how life gives us direction. The one is a negative direction, if you like, and the other one's a positive direction. And so I'm going to start off with the negative one first. So what gives us direction in life? Well, the psalmist says it should not be evil. The person who is content in life is first not someone who walks in the counsel of the wicked. They are not someone who mocks sinners or sits with sinners. Our world tells us that there is no God. They give us some advice on everything in life. What we should wear, where we should live, what we should say or not say. Our world tells us that only those who have everything in life are the truly blessed. David says to us, no. The truly blessed are those who do not follow the ways of the wicked world. And notice here, he gives us three actions that we are to do or not to do if we are to be truly blessed with God. We are not to walk in the counsel of the wicked. We are not to stand in the way of sinners. And we are not to sit in the seat of mockers. You see those three action words there? Walk, stand, and sit. Those are things that you and I do every single day of our lives. David is saying to us, if we want to have direction in life, if we want to know how to trust God in the mess of life, we should not entertain our evil desires. We should not want to be doing what the wicked of the world are doing. Are you and I looking for our blessing in the things of this world or in the Lord? Often, our happiness is defined by how big our bank balance is or by how wonderful our home is or by how new our appliances are. The psalmist says, blessed is the man who does not strive after the things of the wicked, who does not take advice from the wicked. But the psalmist then wants to pick up the next thing. And this is the positive direction, the positive influence that we can have in this life. As the psalmist says, what gives us direction in life? He says, God's law. And this is the second sub-point here of my first point. Look at verse 2. He says, blessed is the man, verse 2, who delights in the law of the Lord, and who meditates day and night on it. Again, do you notice the action here in verse 2? While we are not to stand, sit, and walk with the wicked, we are to delight and meditate on the things of God. Now, the idea here of delighting means a certain amount of excitement, a certain amount of savoring something. I delight in a lovely, tender steak. I delight in being able to go on a holiday that I've planned. I have an excitement. I have a certain amount of savoring, and I want to savor the moment. I delight in a good cup of coffee. The person who is blessed, friends, is the person who is excited about God, who wants to spend time with Him. Likewise, the idea here of meditating is something that we spend time reflecting about. It's not the meditating in the sense that our world understands it, of clearing your mind and sitting there and thinking of nothing. That's not what we mean here by meditating. The understanding of the word meditating here is about spending time investigating, thinking about, reflecting, discussing. And so when the psalmist says, blessed are those who delight in the Lord, who meditate in the Lord, he's saying, blessed are those who have an excitement to find out more about God. The idea here where he speaks of delighting in and meditating on the law of God, that's not just learning the Ten Commandments. The law of God, certainly in this portion of Scripture, refers to the Hebrew Bible at the time, which primarily consisted of the first five books of the Bible, Genesis through to Deuteronomy. And the law of God was seen as God's word. Those five books were seen as God talking to the people. And so the reference here to meditating on the law of God is not so much as about learning what God's law is, although that is there. It's more about reading God's Word. And today we have the entire volume of God's Word, from Genesis through to Revelation. That's what the psalmist is saying. We are to delight when we come to the Bible. We are to meditate, to investigate, to even discuss what is in the Bible. Our psalmist says, you want direction in life? Don't trust the evil ways of this world. Don't listen to the advice our evil world gives us. Rather, listen to the advice the Bible gives us, the whole Bible. That, friends, is what should give us direction in life. It's almost as if we've been given a navigational device for life, the Bible. And we need to choose whether we want to use it or not. The world tells us, don't listen to that navigational device. It doesn't know what it's saying. Trust your own direction. Go your own way. But the Bible tells us, here is a helpful navigation device. Follow it. Helen and I sometimes have minor arguments over directions, especially when we're going to somewhere that we're not sure of where we're going. I always want to just pull out my phone or my navigational device, type in the address and hit start or hit navigate. Helen, on the other hand, wants to get a big picture of the whole situation. And so she doesn't hit navigate. She'll pull up the map of the area and then try to plot her own way. Now, I don't want to diss Helen in any way. That's how she is and so on. I personally would rather trust the voice on my phone. The psalmist says, blessed are those who do not listen to the counsel of the wicked, but rather delight in the Lord. The psalmist tells us, blessed are those who don't listen to the advice and the evil thoughts of this world, but rather, blessed are those who read, who come to understand, who question, who grapple with the Word of God. The psalmist shows us here what should give us direction in life if we are to stand true to God in the mess of life. The second comment that the psalmist makes, and this is found in verses 3 to 4, is how are our lives described? So, as we come in the mess of life, there's two ways to describe our lives. There are those who meditate on the law of God and those who delight in the Word of God. And they are, notice here verse 3, they are planted. Let's read it there. He says, they are like a tree planted by streams of water which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither, whatever he does prospers. Notice again the actions that are going on here in this verse. We have the idea of being planted. We have the idea of being watered. We have the idea of producing a crop, a yield. We have the idea of not withering. We have the idea of prosperity. Dale Ralph Davies has written this amazing little commentary on Psalms 1 through 12, says that the truly blessed Christian is one who has stability, i.e. planted, one who has vitality, that is watered, one who has productivity, that is bears fruit, one who has durability or does not wither, and one who shows prosperity. Compare that with the person mentioned in verse 4, who's still trying to get through the mess of life, but isn't trusting God. Look at verse 4. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. We've had a lot of wind recently, and many of the leaves of the trees have blown off. And you must try and sweep them up or try and rake them up when the wind is blowing. You sweep them this way and the wind blows them there. You sweep them there and the wind blows them back to where you were just busy. Chaff is like that. It just swirls around with the wind. It has no purpose whatsoever. Once it's off the grain, it has no nutritive value, so it can't be used for compost. It is only really good to be burned. An example that I have from my own life of something that is absolutely useless. I used to work in a foundry up country years and years ago. And our particular foundry used sand to make molds for the various products that we were making. And what they would do is it would normally be river sand that they used, and they'd get truckloads of river sand in, and they'd load it into a silo, And then that sand would flow through a special mixing machine where it would be mixed with resin and hardener, and then that sand would be compacted into the mold so that when they poured the molten metal in, the mold would retain its shape. Now, that was normal river sand that they were using, and river sand we use for a multiple uses and purposes today. We use it in building a hang of a lot, and there's various other things that we use sand for, even for making glass. But when the mold had been cast, they obviously had to break the sand out from the mold so that they could get to the product. And that sand that was left, that was broken out of that mold, had absolutely no value whatsoever. It was burnt. All the nutrients in the sand were useless. It couldn't even support itself. It was like dust. It was absolutely useless. They even struggled to use it in landfill sites because it had no volume to it. All that could be done with that sand was to be loaded up into a truck and driven away and dumped somewhere. The sand was useless. It had absolutely no value. We couldn't even sell the sand to builders because it had no substance to support whatever it needed to. The psalmist says, if we are not following the Lord God, then we are nothing more than chaff. Nothing more than useless sand. Now, when you compare that with what the one who follows the Lord has, can you see the true difference here? If we look to God's word, delighting in it, meditating on it, then we are like a strong tree that can withstand the forces of nature. Perhaps you've seen, maybe even in yourself, but probably in other Christians, how when they go through difficult times, they're able to weather the storms of life. In fact, some of you watching this video, some of those folk who are with us today in church, are prime examples of how your Christian faith has carried you through untold struggles. Why? Because we are planted in and rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we are watered by His Word. Because we bear fruit as we tell others about Christ. And because we are given the resources to be sustained through life. David says, as we come to trust God in the mess of life, make sure your direction comes from the Word of God, not from the wicked people of the world. He says, make sure that you are planted and watered in the Lord Jesus Christ, not like chaff that's blown around and burned. There's one final comment that our psalmist makes here this morning, verse 5 and 6. Where are we headed? So again, you can see in the psalm there's been the distinction between those who follow the Lord and those who don't. The wicked, we should not follow. We should follow God. The wicked are like chaff. The righteous are rooted. And now, where are we headed? If we are in those two categories, and all of us are, where are we headed? Again, the psalmist tells us of two different outcomes. First is reserved for the wicked. The other is reserved for those who are blessed. Verse 5, the wicked will not stand in the judgment of sinners in the assembly of the righteous. Notice the outcome for those who take advice from the world, from the wicked. Notice the outcome of those who do not follow the Lord Jesus Christ. They will not be able to stand at judgment. They're full of themselves now. They mock us who follow the Lord Jesus Christ. But on judgment day, they will have to bow their knee to God and admit that He is Lord of all. Notice also that the wicked will not go to heaven. We read here in verse 5, they will not sit in the assembly of the righteous. The assembly of the righteous is a reference to heaven, to being in the presence of God. So those who follow the ways of the world are not only like chaff, but they will not be with God. Verse 6 tells us that the wicked will perish. Again, the contrast. And again, we see this verse 6. The righteous, however, will be watched over. Again, as we've already described, and has already been described by the psalmist, the righteous will be planted, they will be watered, they will be protected so that they do not wither. They will prosper. Of course, those terms are not so much that everything will go right in our lives, but in the next life, everything will be right. We will prosper when we are with God in heaven. In the meantime, we are growing in this world. David wants us to understand, as we begin to look at how we can remain faithful to God in the mess of life, is that without Jesus, there is no hope. We need to want to come before God. We need to remember that we are in Christ. And we need to recall that only the righteous will be watched over. Let me pull this all together and try and answer all three of these questions in a succinct way. What gives us direction in life? Friends, it is only God's word. How are our lives described? Well, if we are in Christ, we are secure. Where are we headed? Well, again, if we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, then we will be heading to heaven as God watches over us in this life. So let me ask one final question this morning. Where are you headed? Where are you seeking your direction from? Perhaps as you watch this video, listen to this talk, perhaps as you're with us this morning in church, where are you headed? Are you off to heaven? Are you taking your advice from God's word? Or are you seeking the advice of the multitude of voices out in our world today? Friends, if you are seeking your advice from God, your direction from God, from His Word, then are you meditating on it? Are you delighting in it? Are you excited when we have opportunities to come and read God's Word? Friends, perhaps as you're watching these today and listening to these talks, you're not heading for heaven and you realize that you are seeking the counsel of the world. Friends, then take heed of the warnings in this psalm. You are like chaff and will be blown around and got absolutely no purpose. That you won't be able to stand with God on the day of judgment. That you will be destroyed. Friends, the choice is there. And David, the psalmist, wants us to get this right before we move into the rest of the psalms. First things first. Follow Christ because we are planted and rooted in Him and He will protect us. Well, friends, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we do thank You for our time together this morning. We thank You, Lord, that we are able to meet together as we've already prayed. And we ask, Lord, that You would be with those who can't be with us, who are watching this talk online. Lord, help all of us to seek our guidance and our direction from You. Help us, Lord, to understand what we are in You and where we are headed in You. And help us, Lord, to seek our counsel from Your word and not from the voices out in our world today. So Lord, keep us following you in the mess of life. Amen.